Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's the 1-1. Swing and a ball hit high into the air, deep right center field. Jankowski going back. He's on the track. He leaps, and he makes the catch! Travis Jankowski hanging on the fence in front of the Rangers bullpen. Hauls that one back. No home run for Mike Ford. Second out of the inning for Nathan Eovaldi.
Everything is working. Web jam of the day. Play of the day in the outfield from Jankowski. The offense is on fire. You knew it was an automatic win as soon as you gave Eovaldi that run support. That was the voice of the Texas Rangers, Matt Hicks, who is now joining us on your home for Rangers baseball. Here with Sean, RJ, and Bobby, 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Hicksy. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well. Best offense that you have covered since or ever? How many years have you been doing this on the Ranger games?
Since the middle of the 2012 season. And wow. I think that there's no question about the fact that this has been the best offense, which has sustained an average runs per game over six now for the longest time. You know, and we're more than a third of the way into the season, so it's not like we're talking about any kind of small sample size. This is, I think, clearly, the best offense that I've seen, especially when you're talking about 1-9 in the lineup. You know, I think they're probably early on when I joined the club in 2012, you probably had maybe four or five guys in the lineup that were, you know, sort of productive like this on an almost daily basis, but not 1-9 in the lineup. It's just been it's been phenomenal to watch this offense.
Hicks, is there an approach or a coach that we should be giving a lot more credit to, or is this just the talent in this lineup all clicking at the right time?
I think that it's probably a combination of the two. And when you talk about the coaching staff that has worked very hard on getting all of the guys, not necessarily on the same page, because I think that all hitters are individual. What works for one doesn't necessarily work for the other. But when you talk about the coaches like Donnie Ecker and Tim Hires and Seth Connor, these are the guys that work with the hitters on a daily basis. And I think some hitters require more attention, some require less. But essentially what they've accomplished overall is getting them to, and it sounds like it's a simple thing, but it's not a simple thing, getting them to chase less and getting them to be more aggressive on pitches inside the strike zone that they can do damage to. And so just to be a little bit more specific there, in other words, what Adolis Garcia might be able to do damage to would be maybe different from what Leody Taveras can do damage to, or what Corey Seager can do damage to. So it's not necessarily the same exact plan for each hitter, but you have almost everybody on the team doing a much better job individually with not going after pitches that they really can't do anything with and being more aggressive at the pitches that they can do something to.
Matt Hicks, voice of the Rangers here on 105.3 The Fan. Give me the top three at-bats that you're getting giddy for when they're stepping into the box, where you're like, something here crazy could happen, or you're just enjoying their at-bats, their top three right now nowadays.
Corey Seager has to be at the top of that list because he's barreling everything up. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's insane when you take a look at some of the numbers for exit velocity and launch angle and the combination of the two. You know, yesterday the hardest ball he hit was the only out that he made. And it was a ball that was hit at about 110 miles an hour. And so every time that Corey comes up, something really exciting could happen. Josh Young, every time that he's up, there's something very exciting that can happen. And it's hard to single these guys out. And for me, now that he's back after a short stint on the injured list, Ezekiel Durant. Mm. Just, you don't know what can happen. And in the case of all three of those guys, all three of those guys have hit some real tape measure type home runs. And I think you might expect that from a Corey Seager, but we are seeing in Josh Young a rookie who is, obviously he's won the American League Rookie of the Month now for the first 2 months of the season. But here's a guy who legitimately could be the American League All-Star third baseman. I mean, that's the kind of season that he's having. And Ezekiel Duran, were it not for almost 2 weeks on the injured list, could be in the conversation, you know, right there along with, you know, Josh Young as being one of the top young players in all of baseball. And, of course, I did that now, and I've left out Marcus Semien, who's having an unreal season. And I think a lot of, you know, you talk about a lot of these other guys, but a lot of people are looking past Marcus because he hasn't done some of the crazy things that some of the other guys have done. You know, he hasn't had a three-homer, eight RBI game like Adolis Garcia. But he's just consistently good every day and setting the table for this unreal offense. And you've got to be excited every time Marcus Semien comes to the plate as well.
The offense of the starting pitching.
Wow. I suppose mathematically speaking, the starting pitching, because there's fewer guys. But I think that the fact that you've got so many players contributing on offense, that I think maybe the right answer there is the offense is more sustainable, because what these guys are doing in the rotation is just, it doesn't seem like it's sustainable for Nathan Eovaldi to go as many starts as he's gone with an ERA under one. Same with John Gray. You know, with what Andrew Heaney had done until this most recent start, and then he probably could have gone a little bit deeper and would have had a better line if there had been a scoring decision that had been better. But essentially, you know, all of those guys are just having phenomenal years. And I can imagine, I think that they can all continue to be very good. I don't know as though all of them can continue to be this good all at the same time.
Matt, when you look at the lineup now that, as you mentioned, Seager's come back recently, Mitch Garver is back in the lineup now, Ezekiel Duran back from that quick stint on the IL, is the question going to be how can they consistently work in at-bats for Garver and Duran with the lineup, or do you think the natural fit there is Duran can take left field pretty consistently, Garver at DH, and continue to roll with the guys who have been producing for you?
Yeah, I think probably the latter there. I think we're going to see Garver on a more regular basis as the designated hitter with an occasional start behind the plate. By the way, we've said absolutely nothing yet about Jonah Heim, who's having an historic season. It's crazy he's only two RBIs from his career best, which was last year, and we're not even close to the halfway point in the season yet. But I think that that's what we're going to see from Mitch. And with Zeke, yeah, I think we're going to see him play on a more regular basis in left field. But, you know, getting the occasional start at short, maybe. Not, you know, very often, but, you know, you might see Corey Seager as a DH every now and then. And also, you know, spelling Josh Young at third. You know, Josh might get maybe one day off every 2 or 3 weeks. You're going to see Zeke's bat in the lineup now that he's back on a more regular basis for sure.
How many all-stars does this team have?
9. Well, you know, it's not going to happen. And, in fact, there are going to be probably a couple of guys that deserve to be on the all-star team that are not going to get on. But, certainly Simeon is right there. I think Young, I think Garcia, I think Heim. There are other guys that are knocking on the door there. And Nathaniel Lowe, too. You know, it's ridiculous how good this team is right now and how many individuals are having all-star type seasons. It's amazing. And of course the fans get to vote for the position players. They don't get to vote for the pitchers, but clearly, you know, there are some pitchers having all-star type seasons, you know, headed up by, you know, Eovaldi and Gray. And it's just, it's baseball euphoria right now.
And that leads me into the atmosphere out there. Matt Hicks, voice of the Rangers here on your home for Rangers baseball. Does it feel like the fans have totally bought in? What's it been like day in and day out there in Arlington compared to years past?
Yeah, this past series against Seattle, it felt like a party. You know, we had over 31,000 for all 3 games. Yesterday we had close to 35,000. So, you know, we're getting close to packing the building on an almost nightly basis. And obviously, if you score 12, 13, 16 runs a game, it's a party atmosphere throughout. So it's been obviously much different here than in years past. And people are pretty charged up about just coming out to see a team that's doing some real special things.
When do you think, and maybe it hasn't happened, when do you think the rest of baseball kind of started taking those and bought in?
Well, I think that when you talk about the rest of baseball, that teams throughout baseball, I think, have all taken notice. I'm not so sure, though, that the media throughout all of baseball has fully taken notice. And one example of that, the other day when we were in Detroit and Grant Anderson made his major league debut and did something that nobody else has done in his major league debut since 1900, that was completely glossed over and not even mentioned on the nightly highlights show put forth by Major League Baseball. The big story for them in that particular game, which the Rangers won, was that Miguel Cabrera had 3 hits in the game. And I could not believe, A, that the main focus of the story wasn't Grant Anderson's debut, and B, they didn't even mention Grant Anderson in the highlight package.
Wow.
So that, I mean, that's not, you know, coming from Detroit, local area, Detroit TV show highlight package of what went on. That was a Major League Baseball national coverage package completely just missing the boat on Grant Anderson and the Rangers. And, you know, at the end of it, it was, oh, by the way, and the Rangers won the game 10-6, or whatever the final score was. So I think that baseball knows what's happening, and baseball players and executives, they all know what's going on. I think it's going to take a while for the media to catch up.
Matt, is it a little bit disheartening to look in the standings and see after this magical, unbelievable run that you're only 3.5 games up on Houston?
When I look at the standings on a daily basis, it is, I don't know if it's disheartening, but you go, man, those guys are really good.
Yeah.
and it's going to be that way all season. It's not like the Astros are going away. They've got great pitching. They've got a great lineup. If the Rangers are going to be this good, this is what they're going to have to contend with. Now, they just dispatched a team that a lot of people thought was going to be the team maybe even to beat, you know, here in this division. And we have another team in the division that's got some pretty good baseball players too, in the Angels. So the strength of the division is not going anywhere. you know, the schedule this year being different means that we play these guys a whole lot less. You know, we play Houston 13 times instead of 19 times. But I think this is a team that embraces that challenge and would perhaps even like to play Houston a little bit more to say, we're just as good as you guys. But, yeah, Houston's going to be there, and this is not going to be a situation where we get to the middle of September and the Rangers have a 15-game lead over the Astros. It's just not going to be the case.
Did you show Jared Sandler what a true crab cake looked like in our neck of the woods?
I didn't get a chance
Come
to
on.
Take him out in Baltimore. Sean, you may know this place, but there's so many different places all throughout the Baltimore area. But I did get a chance to go to my favorite places in Linthicum, not too far from the airport, a place called G&M. You ever been there?
No, I've heard of it.
Oh, dude.
Good.
You have got to get to G&M. Their crab cakes are phenomenal.
Matt Hicks, bringing it strong, eating square pizza in Detroit. What do we got for St. Louis? What can we do here?
They got good Italian food in St. Louis.
Good Italian food. I heard that as well. Yeah. But they're going to be in town. 6:30 pregame. First pitch, 7 o'clock. Thank you so much, as always, brother. And we'll be here continuing to listen to the ride. It's been fantastic.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
There he is, Hicksy, here on DFW Sports Station and your home for the hottest team in Major League Baseball. Why Joker is showing his wife way too much love during these NBA Finals. And Bobby says, after this came out, no more excuses for Mark Cuban. Next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Six on the shot clock. Lowry uses a BAM screen. Right back to BAM! Threw it down with two hands! Hot! BAM!
God. Awful radio call, Heat Radio.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I don't know if that's Jason Jackson.
It is. Okay. Used to be Mike Inglis down there.
So I used to watch Jason Jackson NBA Tonight. On ESPN2 with all the highlights. Rick Cannon was on NBA TV, but...
BAM!
Man, just, Anyway, Miami evens up the NBA Finals. Game 2 goes to the Heat. Joker scores over 40. Not enough, and we're all tied at one apiece. I love Joker. He seems really, really cool. I wish Luka would adopt some of his temperament when it comes to referee complaining and play style. I know it sounds weird talking about a point guard to a center.
Mm-hmm.
But he's making one crucial, crucial mistake.
Joker?
Horrible mistake. He ties his wedding ring around his shoelaces. He does it before every game. I know the internet's all in love with it and all sweet and all that sentimental. And I was like, is this better or worse than Doug Christie? But more importantly, I'm not going to make fun of the sentiment. How did the shoelace not come untied and you lose the wedding ring?
Oh, you got to lace it in, you know, like two or three down. So you don't do it right. You can't do it right here. You got to do it like somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
You got to go through the loops.
You could, because you could tie the initial one and then put the ring between and then double knot with the ring.
Good. You could do that. Yeah, you could do that.
What's the point of this? You know what I mean? So leave it in your locker. Yeah, you won't lose it in your locker. in the safe.
I mean, you know, Tom Brady got his jersey stolen.
That is true.
You could get that. I mean, look, if I was a thief, let's say I was a thief, which maybe I am.
Stealing hearts.
Stealing hearts, baby.
This should be a Bobby training camp bet. If he loses the bet payoff, since he doesn't wear his wedding ring to training camp,
yeah.
he's got to tie it on his person,
on his person
all the practices.
So, I have it on. I would always hook it on my keychain. I would always have it on me when I wouldn't wear it.
When you lose your keys.
What's that after you open up the guest bathroom or your janitor chain over there?
Yep.
Man.
So now it's actually on my finger thanks to soda.
Hold those things back. Oh, and that looks like a metal one.
My actual ring fits again because of soda.
Not one of Chiafalo's rubber ones.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't get that at Dick's.
Yeah, wearing Chiafalo's rubbers from.
Yeah. You'd like wearing Chiafalo's rubbers.
I don't have to borrow his rubbers anymore.
I guess, like, if I was a thief and I knew I wanted to steal something, you know, while the game's being played, I think it's the perfect time to do it.
Oh, isn't that what happened to Deion? Deion got everything stolen out of his locker when he went out
as a
coach.
Remember who you're talking to.
So, like, especially now at home, it's one thing. The visitors' locker room, I mean, they may not have any security on the other end. There may not even be any cameras in the visitors' locker room.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you have cameras allowed at all in a locker where people are changing.
I saw this and I was like, what are you doing? Come on. You put it around your chain, you know, if you're going around showing off.
I think the shoe is better than the chain because the chain is like, hey, look at me. I'm showing this off. On the shoe, I mean, you really got to be looking. This is like if I was married. If I were to go to the gym, I would do this instead of leaving my car.
Okay.
You know, because once I take it off, I might lose it. All right. If I put it there, I know where it
better
is.
Better to put it on the laces or wear it? Was it Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Can't wear it.
That wore it?
Can't wear it.
So a lot of guys will, that's.
Imagine getting your hand slapped on a foul.
Oh, yeah, but you can also.
That would hurt.
What if it dents? You wear it, all of a sudden you can't get it off because now it's all misshaped.
So a lot of the NFL guys will wear their rings during games, but they've switched to the rubber rings for games. So, like, that was Andy Dalton would do that. Andy Dalton played here in Dallas with his wedding ring on, and he would wear just the rubber ones. And so that's become a common thing for guys to do. I'm kind of with Chop in the sense that, like, how showy is it? Because you can't even see it on him. It'd be a little more showy if it was on his – and Doug Christie was Mr. Mwah and Jason Kidd before everything, you know, would blow the kiss or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's more showy to me than this. This one we wouldn't know about if not for discussion.
I bet women eat this up. But meanwhile, it makes the rest of us look bad. Joker is kind of...
You should all be in this together.
Yeah, out.
Yeah, well, sure.
Not in, but out. I'm not having a backup wedding ring to play football with where I keep the real one at home and then I feel like I need to put the plastic one on.
I would just, I mean, like, I just wear the rubber one the whole time. Like, you know, I don't, you know.
I was opening beer bottles with this
there
yesterday.
You go.
Because.
What a man.
Yeah.
You can get under it with that?
Yeah. It was hard. It was very hard. Plus, I have smaller fingers, but.
It's true.
Jimmy. Thanks, Jimmy. You got coolers full of beers for your kids' graduation and you don't have a bottle cap opener. I feel like it's a challenge to men. Figure it out. You should know how to do it. So it was Coronas and Modelo's and he walks on over, grabs one out of the ice cooler, pop. I'm like, are those twist off? Are those pop offs? And he's like, no, use my ring. I'm a veteran. So now, you know, he's challenged me in front of my wife and my child.
Yep.
So now I have to say, he had this big old class ring and I got this little thing off the boardwalk and I'm like, okay, so I'm like, I'm going to break my finger if it means getting this damn bottle off. You know, I'm doing it. So I got it off under there, underneath the bottle cap on the bottom, and got it off. But the second, third, and fourth ones did not go as easily. I'm like, give me a bottle opener. And then people are like, oh, just wear those sandals with the bottle opener. I'm like, yeah, I want dog crap all up on my lips.
I know. It's terrible.
I just want to take swigs of dog crap while walking around.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. I had to do this at your place at the party. I had to open up Chiafalo's beer. He couldn't find a beer opener. So I had to do it on the side of the table.
What beer was it? I didn't have any bottles out there.
It was a Corona.
It was a Corona.
Wasn't a Bud Light bottle?
No.
Hey, he shouldn't be drinking glass at the pool. That's a no-no. You know, I don't know if you emphasize that at your pool. I've had one glass bottle break, and it's the end. You're screwed.
You are screwed.
Can't find the little shards.
Yeah, I've not had. I think I've brought a bottle out there myself, a bottle of Corona. But
I mean, you've got four or five people you trust, maybe. But that was a madhouse.
So I need to ask you, since you just referenced it, when you get challenged a little bit like that in front of the wife, and obviously you feel the need to then
prove something
about it.
Prove it.
Is she going to be the one to go, stop it, like, don't be a dumb macho guy? Or is she going like, yeah, what are you going to do? I'm here. Are you going to show me who you are?
She could not care less. It makes me upset that she doesn't like when I bow up to people. She hates it. She's Miss Diffuser. If we're driving in the car and someone cuts me off, whatever, and I'm like, hey, yeah, blank hole, here's the man. You're going to get shot. That's how people get shot. She the manly stuff to her, she couldn't care less.
Kristen will hate me acknowledging this out loud.
Very defeating.
Because it drives her up a wall. The guaranteed way to get me to do almost anything.
Dare you.
Is to turn it into, what are you, P word? What are you, B?
Oh, like Sarah called you.
Exactly. Yeah, if you start turning it into, oh, so you're a baby, you're a wuss, mm-hmm. then immediately it's like, I will now do double what you've asked me to do.
We were in the car going somewhere. I think it was, I can't remember where we're going, but
not to see a horror movie.
No, it wasn't to see a horror movie for sure. We were getting into one of those right turn yield lanes, and the person had a lane. And nothing annoys me more when there's a lane that's designed, that's ready for you to make that right to go in, and they still stop because they want to get over three lanes just to get in the left lane immediately. So I lay on the horn. And she's like, dude, this could be somebody that we're going to be in a group with that you're going to see. Because I can't remember where we were going, but it was some kind of a party.
But
or
it was on a highway?
No, it was off of like a side road.
You were getting close to the venue.
We were getting close. We were like
This is a very Kevin Hagelin type moment in our parking garage.
Yeah. So we were maybe a half mile from the venue. So I'm like, lay on that horn. Mm. Don't stop. Just keep going. And she goes, dude, and I was like, okay, that's a fair point.
It is a fair point.
That's a fair point. Can't argue that one.
No.
On a highway, though, you cut me off. I'm laying on the tutor, man.
No, I told you, our first disagreement, this guy like bumped into her at a bar, early dating, knocked her drink over, and he didn't say anything. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Yeah. Go get her a drink. She got mad at me. Confrontation. I'm like,
man, no appreciation for us sticking our necks on the line to defend their honor.
Yeah. You're with the alpha now, okay?
Yeah.
You're with the alpha now.
All right.
But you know, she hates it.
Recognize a real Don when you see one.
When you what?
When you see one sipping on booze at the House of Blues.
All right. What was the white thing? What was the white tweet?
Sounds about white.
I want that as a drop, Pepe. Sounds about white. All right, Roberto, you saw some team evaluations while we're talking about hoops not allow Mark Cuban off the hook.
This is absolutely stunning to me. So Forbes, at the end of last week, had put together a list of the most profitable teams in professional sports. They looked at, NHL, NBA, the big four here, and then also EPL. And they took a number of factors into consideration, and then they listed the 25 teams that have generated the most operating income. So this is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, etc., during the past 3 years collectively. No surprise, number one sports team in the world, the Dallas Cowboys. They've picked up $1.2 billion over the past 3 years. But you start running down the list.
So what was their total valuation?
This is just operating income. So it's $1.2 billion is what they've picked up in the last 3 years. Number 16.
Of all the teams.
Of all professional organizations is the Dallas Mavericks. $282 million in operating income generated over the last 3 years.
Oh, we don't make any money.
No.
We lose.
Well, you can make money if you're not in the luxury tax.
We lose money.
This is the fifth most profitable team in the NBA, and they have more operating income than 25 of the 32 NFL teams.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
How can that be?
I don't know. I have no clue. And yet we still manage to sign bad contracts and be broke all the time.
When's the last time Cuban paid the tax?
Oh, wasn't it the year? It was like the year after the finals or something like that?
Bassett, yes.
Bassett will know this.
They're going to have to pay it this year if they're signing Kyrie.
Yeah. Yes, they will. They will. I didn't see any baseball teams on here.
No MLB teams made it because part of the reason why is because it was COVID. This is over the last 3 years, and that was during their shortened season, so it took away gate revenue compared to other organizations.
Yeah. Well, also, I know, the teams that had, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees, they hide a lot of their money in their regional sports network. so it doesn't look like they make as much because that's how they avoid revenue sharing.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. People in the Northeast laundering money. 2011. The title year. That was the last time the Mavericks paid the luxury tax.
2011?
Yeah, and they did it every year from 02 to 11. So Cuban won his title, and he was like, all right, let's get this operating income up, baby.
Yeah, wow. There it is. No excuse there. I'd love for him to be asked about that. But a certain person at this station on the midday show with a bald head, well, there's two. One of them, you can guess, probably has made it permanent of a Cuban non-appearance on any of the shows.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't think it's happening. I think
Walchuk's out of control.
Vasek is unofficially banned.
Yes, there's no doubt about it.
By Mark Cuban. All right. Bobby's favorite football website has ranked the corners. RJ has been very stubborn when it comes to giving this man props. Has PFF disrespected the Cowboys' cornerbacks? Below the Belt is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The great Bobby Belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Why is everyone raving about Lamar Jackson's balls? More on that in just a moment. Look at the heavy eye roll from Sean
that
there.
That was good.
That was a Raven pun. That's a direct quote that you'll find out about here in just a second after we read a trash list from Pro Football Focus. Actually, it's not a trash list this time. I don't think this is actually that bad of a list. For the first time in forever, Sam Monson, you finally did something good. Congratulations.
He's good.
No, he's not. That dude's a tool.
You don't like him?
No, I don't like him. I don't like him personally. He's the worst.
Sean.
Yeah.
Both of them. I have no idea. I don't pay attention to who writes these things.
Well, you just said the guy was good.
Well, because he works for PFF.
Oh.
They agree.
I just don't understand. Like, why is everybody so triggered by PFF? If you don't like their list, then don't use their list.
They've historically graded Diggs better than I would grade this guy's personality. So, they've been going through these top 32 of every position, basically, in the NFL. So, we've already talked about the receivers. They've gone through a bunch of different positions. Now, they've got their cornerback rankings up. And I was very interested.
And for the record, to answer your question, and for all the Tolos so they know, the reason that we always do this list, I'm just hoping for a fight to break out between you two. That's the only reason I schedule it on there. Bobby isn't asking to do it. I'm like, oh, PFF came out with another one? Yeah, let's read it, and hopefully
you want a real fight, let's do the quarterback one.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Let's do CB and QB right here.
So CBs, they went through their top ranking here, and I'm a little surprised. I was surprised at where they had Trayvon Diggs because that has been, I would say, their biggest fight with the public has been Diggs over the last 3 years, probably.
Yeah.
They wrote an entire article re-emphasizing, I believe it was end of his second season when he had all those interceptions. They had written an entire, like, 6,000-word article breaking down, this is why we grade the way we do. This is the disparity between what you guys see with Trayvon Diggs and what we see with Trayvon Diggs. And I don't recall them ever having to write a whole article talking about, here's our divorce between the public and us on this player's grade. So this has been a big fight for them.
It has been. And I'm glad they actually addressed it. Because, you know, when you look at it and you see that grade and it's like, okay, well, he had all these interceptions. And they're like, well, yeah, but like we grade plays that he doesn't even get thrown to. You know, they grade all 60 plays of the game.
Now, this is from the past season where they stand right now. Or who's going to have the best year?
Same sort of thing that we ran into with the receiver list the other day. It's not totally defined. It's more just where are they at right now? Now, what is the criteria? You're basing off of last year? You're basing off of full body work? Are you projecting out? They don't make that clear. But it is for right now. Who is it? So the number one corner in the NFL is? Any guesses?
Sauce.
Sauce Gardner. New York Jets. Wow. Gardner hit the ground running in the NFL, allowed a 53.9 pass rate, and just 45.9% of passes thrown in his coverage were caught by the intended receiver. Number two, Jalen Ramsey, Miami Dolphins. This feels
hard to disagree.
Like an aggressive. Is this respect?
Yeah.
Is this a belief of something's going to change in Miami?
Although, who belongs it to? If it's not, if we're going to knock him, Jair Alexander?
Alexander, Surtain.
I think Alexander's really, really good. Yeah. Alexander would be up near the top for me. Number three, again, good player. I think a lot of the criticisms people have had for Diggs before, you could have about this guy throughout his career. Number three, Darius Slay. He gets the number three call there with the Eagles.
I thought he had a fantastic year. You like you do with all Eagles. You say he, it was overhyped, and it was he was overrated and
that. I think he was good. I had a bigger problem with Bradbury last year. I thought you could throw on Bradbury fairly easy, and the Cowboys did. It's just I think a lot of teams didn't take advantage of it.
What was the quote? Mid-ass secondary. That's what he said on his.
Mid-ass secondary, mid-ass football team, mid-ass quarterback. That was after they lost to the Chiefs when I went on my rant. Number four, another young gun, Patrick Surtain of the Denver Broncos. Number five, little low for me, Jair Alexander, Green Bay Packers. And then number six, Sean Sharif.
Stephon Gilmore.
Stephon Urkel Gilmore.
Oh, I was just joking. Yeah.
Stephon Gilmore is number six.
It's not Diggs.
No. Nope.
Number two corner.
His middle name Urkel?
No, Stephon Urkel was the alter ego of Steve Urkel.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why I was quoting that. He says there was a stretch where Gilmore was the best cornerback in football.
He was.
And while that may be in the past now, he showed in each of his past two stops that he can still play at a very high level. For the Colts, Gilmore recorded an 81.1 PFF coverage grade and allowed an 82.6 passer rating from 82 targets. He now gets the benefit of playing opposite Trayvon Diggs in Dallas in 2023. So you hear that? Now it's a benefit to play across from Trayvon Diggs. They're already trying to backtrack on the guy a little bit.
You need to be crediting them. They are loving Gilmore like you, hyping him just as much.
I really like Gilmore. My BFF grade was not 81.1. I had him at an 83.2 last year, mainly for his man coverage skills.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Number seven, Marshawn Lattimore, who has been really strong and consistent. Corners at times can be a little bullpen-like, where they have up and down seasons and kind of go through these waves. Lattimore's been pretty consistent his entire career. And then number eight, the only team with two corners in the top eight is
Burt Mantos,
the Dallas Cowboys. That's right. Can't forget about Boss Man Fat, which, by the way, he deleted that tweet over the weekend getting dragged by people. His Boss Man Fat, can't forget about him, quote tweet to Jordan Lewis. He deleted it. So he was getting crushed
too
much.
Did Jordan delete his? Should have.
He did
disrespect.
Not. No.
Disrespect.
Number eight is Trayvon Diggs.
He's the best.
Of the Dallas Cowboys.
He's the best.
Diggs didn't have the same gaudy interception stats in 2022 as he did the year before, but he was a better overall player.
He was.
Over the past two seasons, he has given up some big plays, but as a ball hawk and a dangerous cornerback to test, his play may see a boost this season with Stephon Gilmore on the other side, keeping defenses honest. So, You believe I should give credit here instead of skepticism of their quiet, like, you know what, let's sneak him onto a list.
See, that's
and we won't like talk about we were wrong.
They even admitted that he had a better year this year than he did during his interception season, which speaks to their like philosophy of we don't overvalue the interception.
Okay, but they are the kings of our grades are our grades, and that's how we stack players. Our formula is our formula, and this is what it is. Diggs was not the eighth-ranked corner based off of their grades last year.
I have to go back and look.
No, he wasn't. I'm just saying he wasn't the eighth-graded corner. I think he was in the...
Do we all think that Trayvon's season last year was better than the year before?
He was...
I know we're going to weight the picks.
See, and that's the problem is that if you're, because you talk about the interceptions flip the field, they do so many different things for you that... Yeah. I think it broke about even for me. It's just he was doing different things better. He got a lot of interceptions that one year, but he gave up fewer big plays this past year.
So what you're saying is we know that they didn't rank Diggs this high at the end of the season, so why is he this high now?
Right. Why are you trying to basically – it's easier to subtly backtrack in an offseason article than change your rankings up in the middle of it and go, we were wrong, sorry. And
it shouldn't
change. That's what they've done.
It shouldn't change at all.
No.
Your numbers should be what they are at the end of the season.
Exactly.
It could be Sam grades differently because they all have different. They have like 600 graders over there.
Oh.
Okay. Right. Sam is an analyst, but generally you would expect, because another they list they've done in the past, they use their formula.
Yeah, they use
their
formula.
That's their proprietary blend. That's their 11 herbs and spices or whatever that nobody thinks is very good. And then rounding out the top 10 here, number 9, J.C. Horn from the Carolina Panthers, and number 10, Jamel Dean from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, Cowboys.
Never even heard of him.
Cowboys with the only team. With
you know who showed up on number 18? Cheeto.
Okay. I mean,
they could have three top 18 quarterbacks.
What are you going to crap on Cheeto?
It's just he was hurt a lot of last year. Like, I mean, he's been banged up pretty consistently. He's fine. I don't know that I would say he's a top 20 quarter in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, like this doesn't have to go just off of last year.
Right. But, I mean, they clearly are with Diggs since they thought Diggs was, like, an awful football player in 2021.
Well,
so
they're saying that the Cowboys have the best corners in the NFL.
Best corner duo, yep.
Best corner duo.
According to this list, yeah. All right, you want Lamar Jackson's balls or quarterbacks?
Let's go Lamar. We won't have enough time for the other one.
Because he's not a quarterback, right? He's a running back. Mark Andrews, the Ravens tight end, just cannot stop bragging to people right now about Lamar Jackson's balls.
The guy every year in fantasy, I'm like, dang it, I wish I got Mark Andrews. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He was out there talking to reporters during these OTAs, and he was raving, as I said, because that was a great pun. I'm going to use it again, Sean. he was absolutely raving about Lamar Jackson, how he looks. He says, just coming back here today and seeing him throw, seeing the way he's seen the game, his balls are incredible. I think that's a good one. He's putting the balls on the money, so he looks incredible. So now, are we getting Lamar Jackson hype season going? He didn't need to show up to OTAs, Chop.
No.
He didn't need to work on anything.
This is RJ Choppy and Steve Young. It's them against the world of Lamar could be in more close to Mahomes throwing. The Ravens held him back.
Hang on. Hang on. Okay, I had never said that. I just don't like the notion that...
The argument we had was, do we really believe that the Ravens have corralled this passing ability because he's this special runner? I don't believe that. I believe that they have evaluated him correctly and said, he's not a great thrower, so let's limit some of the throwing and let's focus on the legs. But Steve Young wants us all to believe, no, there's just this entirely different world that's been undiscovered. There's this treasure that the Ravens can now go to once the legs start fading, and he's going to pinpointly dissect and take apart secondaries. That's what I disagree
with. Yeah, look, I mean, to me, they recognize that his legs are better than his arm. That doesn't mean that his arm is not good. It means that his legs are better. So they're going to utilize that. And I would too. Now, eventually.
But who in football would believe that that's the better way to do it with the passing, the passing generation that we're in?
Because oh my God, absolutely. If you have a quarterback that can move, that is so difficult to play. There's a reason that he has the fourth best winning percentage of any quarterback in NFL history. Like they're doing something right. And now eventually, he won't run as well as he does and up throw. And now that's going to make it more difficult because the threat of the run won't be there. So it's going to be more difficult by default.
Steve Young said he could be the greatest player in the history of the game, but they're holding him back. Woo!
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Next gen stats, really quickly as we wrap up here, had the 10 most explosive runners of 2022. And Tony Pollard was fifth on the list. But they had three quarterbacks on the list. Justin Fields ranked number one among all players. Yeah. Lamar Jackson was fourth. Do you know who the third quarterback was coming in ninth?
The most explosive?
Yep, we've got Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields on the list so far.
Most explosive running quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones.
No. Wright State. Well, at least according to their team name, being New York.
Josh Allen?
Josh Allen was the ninth most explosive runner in the NFL last year.
He's a monster. He's a freak athlete.
That's why he's your number two.
He's my number two.
And we're wrong about him.
You'll see. 877-881-1053, chartrack.com, text line. It's below the belt. Every single day on your home of America's team. I don't even know. I have like 9 Ranger topics written down.
Right,
I don't even know where to go.
Do them all.
I got how many Ranger All-Stars are they? do they have? What is the real insurance for Jacob DeGrom? What is Vegas saying about your on-fire baseball team? And Jared Sandler with a poll question on who is surprising you the most on your home of the Rangers next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.